Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Parent Involvement is Everything, the Key to Effective Therapy, and features Angela Adams in an interview with Alex Ruffner.
Hello, everyone. I'm Alex Ruffner, an assistant editor with the Imagine eJournal. Welcome, Angie. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Imagine podcast.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Of course. To start, can you share a little bit about yourself and your connection to working with families of young children?
Absolutely. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I have been working in the field since 2003, and the last 10 years I have spent here at Norton Healthcare helping facilitate maternal recovery programming. So we have a program called the Norton MOST program, which stands for Maternal Opiate and Substance Treatment, where we bring moms in to help them medically stabilize from any substances they might be using, get connected to treatment, OB care, parenting skills, and really anything they need to help them be successful as new parents.
Awesome. I love that you all start that like before the baby's even born. Kind of like
absolutely. The sooner the better. The sooner the better.
I also didn't realize you've been in mental health care for over 20 years now.
Over 20 years.
That's amazing.
And a whole variety of settings from residential treatment to school-based community mental health, and now more medical and healthcare social work.
Awesome. So why do you think involving parents in sessions with their children is important?
Well, I think it's so important for not only bonding, but co-regulation, you know, for parents to learn how to regulate themselves so that then they can in turn teach their children those coping skills and how to co-regulate. I think it goes a long way for attachment and attunement.
In your experience, what are some of the most impactful ways parents can support their child's development and well-being?
I think really it's just being present and being an equal partner on that care team, whatever that care team might look like. If it's NICU, doctors, specialists, to make sure that parents are really fully involved and educated, and that we are welcoming them as, you know, another team player, right? And so maybe getting away from that kind of expert, we're the experts and we're telling you what's going to work with your baby, to having them join and be more collaborative in that approach.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that can even translate to their own care as well. So like
Absolutely.
Fully bringing them into the picture and like trying to find what works best for them with their family.
Exactly. Because I always try to remember, especially when we're trying to practice trauma-informed care, that all of our clients really are the experts on their own lives. Like they know their situation better than we do. And so being able to meet them where they're at, I think that can help have better outcomes both for them and their children.
Awesome. Can you share an example of a memorable moment where parent involvement in therapy made a significant difference in a child's life?
Absolutely. I'm thinking about a lot of our babies, of course, have substance exposure. So a lot of our new moms are dealing with a lot of feeding issues, as you know. And so we've had several moms over the years express in our groups and to each other, not necessarily feeling heard by their pediatricians when it comes to feeding issues. And, well, you know, it's just something we got to work through. And I've actually had probably a handful of moms that with continued advocacy actually realized that their children had feeding allergies, so milk allergies. And so once they were able to get on soy or a different method, then those issues really cleared up. So just really having them be involved and advocate, they know their babies. And so just being heard goes a long way.
Definitely.
That's kind of a common theme, I feel like, especially with women in recovery is, there is kind of a general mistrust of the medical community in general. There's such fears of stigma and judgment that maybe they don't raise issues as much as they should because they don't want to like be seen as a bother per se or as a difficult patient. So it's finding that balance between advocating for yourself and making sure that your child gets what they need. But we've had a few that with continued advocacy did come to find out there was a food allergy and they did need some kind of special intervention.
Wow, good for them for, sticking with it and I
Absolutely.
mean using the resources that they had and talking with their peers and trying to figure things out. What are some of the challenges you have encountered with parent engagement and how have you worked to overcome those?
I think it goes for everybody, myself included, as a parent. It's time. A lot of us have multiple children, work, there's just so many things that life throws at you that sometimes it's hard to be able to devote the time you need to be able to go to appointments or, having to rely on family members or grandparents to take kids to appointments when maybe they really don't know the full issue because mom's got to work. That's always a challenge.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you think about all our clinics are open during working hours, right? So if you're a 9 to 5 working mom, when do you take your kids to the dentist, to the doctor, to all of those preventative care appointments? It's a real challenge.
It is, and I'm sure, parents in recovery, they also have to work with other systems at play, making sure that they are
Exactly.
going to work and meeting certain
Exactly.
requirements. And so it makes it even more difficult trying to
Yeah,
juggle
working, going
all of these.
to 5 recovery meetings a week, doing IOP, and then still having to, parent and meet with your sponsor and take care of your own preventative health. Like sometimes it just doesn't feel like there's enough hours in the day to get all of that done.
Yeah, that's really tricky. How do you think cultural values and traditions influence the way that families engage in therapy?
Oh, very much so. Very, very much so. I think there are trends of families that embrace therapy and interventions and families that don't. And I feel like there's not a whole lot of in between sometimes. So it's either we're bought into the system or we have a mistrust of the system. And that can be a challenge.
What strategies do you have to maybe work with those families that haven't quite bought into the system yet?
So I think with our team, and we kind of we almost joke about it, like once we spend so much time building rapport, then we kind of enter the circle of trust, right? And so now we're the trusted kind of provider in the situation, which is great, but then at the same time, they then want us to be able to address everything, right? Because they trust us. So, I trust you guys, so can I ask you this about my baby? And also, I need my birth control and I need my hep C treated. I need all these things. Well, we can't necessarily do all of that ourselves. We have to, employ our community partners. And I do feel like it goes a long way to do, warm handoffs to say, like for us, for example, if I have a family that's come into the NICU who's really nervous, I can say, my friend Alex is the music therapist and she's wonderful and she's going to help you with these things. And I think that really helps to, extend the trust just outside of our team.
Yeah, definitely. Sure, it's a difficult line to balance of really like providing lots of support in the early days to help get them on board and build that trust, but then kind of switching over and empowering them to take control of that.
You're absolutely right. It's like, that teaching, teaching a man to fish, right, goes a lot longer than giving him a fish. So, in those early days, especially of recovery, it's a lot of hand holding. It's a lot of collaboration. It's a lot of checking in. It's a lot of following up. And then hopefully, as they, move forward in their recovery and have more recovery capital, then those things become easier for them to accomplish on their own.
Yeah. For parents who might be hesitant or unsure about their involvement in therapy, what advice or encouragement would you offer?
I always tell our moms to remember that your providers work for you. So you have choice, you have alternatives. So if you're in a situation with a provider where you feel like this is not a good fit, or I don't feel safe, or I don't, fully, like this person's style or whatever the case might be, you always have the option of going elsewhere. So I think a lot of people, you meet with whoever is available, right? And so I think goodness of fit is important too. Is this person a good fit for my family? Is it someone that's going to hear me and listen to me and join with me? And if the answer is no, there are a lot of other providers. And so I think reminding people that you always have a choice.
Yeah, that's something that I also have to remember myself is like,
Absolutely.
healthcare is a commodity and it's okay to
The
shop around.
service.
Yeah.
It's just like if you went to a new beautician and she butchered your hair, you wouldn't go back.
Right.
It's the same with, a speech therapist, a mental health therapist, whatever the case might be. If you have a negative experience, you can always look for another option or maybe try to address those issues in a appropriate way.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what we were talking about before. It's okay to think that. It doesn't make you a difficult patient
It
if you're not
doesn't.
getting along with your current healthcare provider.
Absolutely. And that it's okay to ask questions and advocate for yourself. And, our healthcare industry is such a beast. You have to find ways to make your voice heard and have some control.
So, looking ahead, what do you see as the future of parent involvement in therapy? Are there any trends or innovations that you're particularly excited about?
I am a huge fan of parent-child interaction therapy. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Alex, but I was almost certified in that at my last job. But I really love that method of teaching parents how to do their own interventions. So, like, especially before this job, my past experience, I was traditionally a young child and adolescent therapist. And a lot of times, what you would find is parents would drop their kids off and they would just honestly want you to fix them, right? And so you can't necessarily do that with a 5 or 6 year old. Like, they're part of a family system. And so really engaging the family and teaching the parents interventions is so much more valuable than any play session you're going to be able to do with that kiddo.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of a theme that we've come across in chatting with other practitioners and other parents for this podcast series is being able to carry over those skills to their home life and
Exactly.
implement some of those strategies at home when some either behavioral issues arise or they start running into problems. Like they need to feel equipped with how to address those.
Absolutely. And not only, we're also, when you're equipped, then you're more confident, you feel more competent, and you're able to, have a less stressful home environment, which is what everybody wants.
Yeah.
We have a few of our moms who are doing PCIT now with their toddlers. And it's been just a really awesome thing to watch them learn those skills and really take control of the discipline and the tone of their home.
Love that. So we just have one last question. Is there any particular piece of advice or a message you'd like to share with our listeners about the power of parent involvement in therapy?
I feel like when you're dealing with kiddos, parent involvement is everything. Whether it's therapy, school, healthcare, really that core unit has to be there, right? That parent-child dyad. And when that dyad is there and there's trust, there's so much prevention that comes with that too, right? You're going to see kids with better ACE scores, with less toxic stress, that have more trusting relationships with their families. And I think that just snowballs into better outcomes for everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Angie, for sharing your time, experiences, and over 20 years of expertise with us.
Thank you.
Your insights will no doubt inspire our listeners and contribute to the ongoing conversation around parent involvement.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2025.